CD 7.
On making gentle inquiries of a family watching disconsolately as the smoke from the fire was turned to steam, William ascertained that the blaze had been mysteriously caused by mysterious spontaneous combustion in an overflowing mysterious chip pan full of boiling fat. William left them picking through the blackened remains of their home. "And it's just a story," he said, putting away the notebook. "It does make me feel a bit of a vampire. Oh, sorry." "It is okay," said Otto. "I understand. And I should like to thank you for giving me this job. It means a lot to me, especially since I can see how nervous you are, which is understandable, of course." "I'm not nervous. I'm very much at home with other species," said William hotly. Otto's expression was amicable, but it was also as penetrative as the smile of a vampire can be. "Yes, I notice how careful you are to be friendly with the dwarfs, and you are kind to me also. It is a big effort, which is very commendable." William opened his mouth to protest and gave up. "All right. Look, it's the way I was brought up, all right? My father was definitely very in favour of humanity. Well, ha! Not humanity in the sense of... I mean, it was more that he was against." "Yes, yes, I understand." "And that's all there is to it. Okay, we can all decide who we're going to be." "Yes, yes, sure. And if you want any advice about women, you only have to ask." "Why should I want advice about women? "Oh, no reason, no reason at all," said Otto innocently. "Anyway, you're a vampire. What advice could a vampire give me about women?" "Oh, my word, wake up and smell the garlic. All the stories I could tell you." Otto paused. "But I won't, because I don't do that sort of thing any more, now that I have seen the daylight." He nudged William, who was red with embarrassment. "Let us just say they don't always scream." "That's a bit tasteless, isn't it?" "Oh, that was in the bad old days," said Otto hurriedly. "Now I like nothing better than a nice mug of cocoa and a good sing-song around the harmonium, I assure you. Oh yes, my word." Getting into the office to write up the story turned out to be a problem. In fact, so was getting into Gleam Street. Otto caught William up as he stood and stared. "Well, I suppose we asked for it," he shouted. $25 is a lot of money." "What?" shouted William. "I said $25 is a lot of money, William." "What?" Several people pushed past them. They were carrying dogs. Everyone in Gleam Street was carrying a dog, or leading a dog, or being dragged by a dog, or being savaged, despite the owner's best efforts, by a dog belonging to someone else. The barking had already gone beyond mere sounds, and was now some kind of perceptible force hitting the eardrums like a hurricane made of scrap iron. William pulled the vampire into a doorway where the din was merely unbearable. "Can't you do something?" he screamed. "Otherwise we'll never get through." "Like what?" "Well, you know, all that children of the night business." "Oh, that," said Otto. He looked glum. "That's really very stereotypical, you know. Why don't you ask me to turn into a bat while you're about it? I told you I don't do that stuff no more." "Have you got a better idea?" A few feet away, a Rottweiler was doing its best to eat a spaniel. "Oh, very well," Otto waved his hands vaguely. The barking ceased instantly, and then every dog sat on its haunches and howled. "Not a huge improvement, but at least they're not fighting," said William, hurrying forward. "Oh, well, I'm sorry. Stake me as you pass," said Otto. "I shall have a very embarrassing 5 minutes explaining this at the next meeting, you understand? I know it's not the sucking item, but I mean one should care about the look of the thing." They climbed over a rotting fence and entered the shed via the back door. People and dogs were squeezing in through the other door and were only held at bay by a barricade of desks and also by Saccharissa, who was looking harassed as she faced a sea of faces and muzzles. William could just make out her voice above the din. "No, that's a poodle. It doesn't look a bit like the dog we're after." "No, that's not it. How do I know? Because it's a cat." "All right, then why is it washing itself?" "No, I'm sorry, dogs don't do that." "No, madam, that's a bulldog." "No, that's not it. No, sir, I know that's not it." "Because it's a parrot, that's why. You've taught it to bark and you've painted dog on the side of it, but it's still a parrot." Saccharissa pushed her hair out of her eyes and caught sight of William. "Well, now, who's been a clever boy?" she said.
"Who's a clever boy?"
said the dog. "How many more out there?"
"Hundreds, I'm afraid."
"Well, I've just had..."